Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Okay, we're recording. We're rolling. Okay, stand by. We're going in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Rolling.
All right. Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast. I am your host, Carl Fiadini. So we're going to stay on COGS. That's cost of goods. Why prices are what they are, whether you go to a restaurant, the retailer, grocery, whatever, why they cost what they cost. We all know there's some inflationary issues going on here. And, you know, at the end of the day, I am looking to find out how our chefs are navigating this challenge and still being able to provide high-level food to you at a you know, reasonable cost. So today we have the chef Anthony Fothergill.
Fothergill.
Yes. Right. We are at the DoubleTree here in Orlando. I mangle everybody's name, and you know what? I'm okay with it because that's just, it's what I do. Chef, thank you for allowing us to take over the restaurant here. Thank you for being on the podcast. I appreciate you. We appreciate you. Welcome.
Thank you. It's an honor to be in here.
Excellent. Also with us today is the chef, Jeffrey.
You're just doing that on purpose now.
You know, you're becoming the Ed McMahon of the program. And I like it. How do you feel about it?
I love being the comic, you know. You always say we're trying to lift it up, and I'm the one that's bringing it a couple
you
notches
bring it down.
Down.
And you know what? It's all balance.
Yeah, it is. It's yin and yang.
It is. It's all about the balance. Chef Anthony. Yes. It is a beautiful property.
Thank you.
How long have you been here?
I've been here for 17 years. A lot of changes. Our current owners, I've invested a lot of money in making sure that it has a brand new look.
What? Where are you from?
From England, Nottingham.
Nottingham. And I, you know, we were talking off camera, and I kind of had an ear in on what you guys were into.
Football.
Football, yeah.
Yes.
The real football.
The real football.
The real
that's
football,
right.
Indeed. Yeah. So, what's your favorite team?
Manchester United.
And yours?
Everton. Okay. But my wife's is Man United.
Because she's a smart woman.
I don't know. She married
Apparently not so smart.
Well, she married herself, right?
It's a loser. Right there. Right.
I hate to tell you, she's a pescatarian.
Oh. Wow.
I can't make that up.
Oh, boy. All right. So, yeah, you know what? How's that work with the new butcher shop coming through?
We're going to have vegan butchery as well, believe it or not.
Okay.
So one of the first one in the state of Florida.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's because of your wife?
No.
Okay.
It's because I know what the money is there.
He's smart.
It's a $25 billion industry.
Wow.
I want a little bit of that schkadol.
The little some schkadol.
Yeah, schkadol.
All right. I love it. Wow. You're saying all the right stuff.
Gravy.
All right. So, chef, listen, Anthony, Chef
yes.
Anthony. There's so many chefs on here. How are we navigating the challenges right now? You know, you got $80 lettuce and, you know, 20% up on beef. How are we doing this?
I'm going to tell you, it's a challenge. You know, so we have several outlets in the hotel, plus we have our banquet area. And in the banquets especially, I have to research costs to make it. Obviously, the hotel has to make money and the guests have to get what they're asking for. And to exceed the expectations, I have to call around quite a bit each week to find pricing and quality products. And especially since COVID, it's been ridiculous how much products has gone up.
I mean, that was a whole that was an issue in and of itself because,
yes.
You know, I noticed that we are getting better with staffing. It's getting a little better there. But there's still a lot of shorted or missing products that
yes.
that used to be here, easy to get, and, you know, all of a sudden, not so much.
Yes. Well, you know, one of the things I have to do is we have our main supplier. And I have two backup suppliers because when I send my order in to one, if that one doesn't have it, I have to get a product from somewhere else. And fortunately for us, we do have a good supply of vendors that we can use.
Well, you know, it's funny what I noticed in today's environment. And when I say this word, again, I'm not mocking you, but there are strange bedfellows right now in the industry.
Yes.
Like, you know, a lot of hotels where you were pressured and regulated in a very strong way that you have to order here,
yes.
and here, and that is it. Well, that's opened up a little bit because that, in the final analysis, you need products.
Yes.
You have to have it.
Yes.
And therefore, now it's opening some doors to you where, you know, previously there wasn't an opportunity.
Yes.
You know, and that's probably where you're finding some relief.
Yes, that is it. As I said, we're fortunate to be able to use have a good range of vendors, broad line vendors,
mm-hmm.
and having that supply, I can pick and choose to get what from who, price and quality wise.
Yeah, Jeffrey, we were talking earlier about how, you know, you're walking the tightrope on, hey, I can get a better price, but you know what, I'm falling off in terms of service. Like, you never want to fall off on quality.
No,
right? Because if you're not, if that distributor or vendor, brand, whatever, if they're not bringing you quality, they're not in the game.
No.
Right? If you're a reputable operation, anyway.
Yes.
But you don't want to skimp on service.
No.
Like that should be the spearhead.
That's the bread and butter.
Yes.
Right.
Like Chef Kevin was talking in the earlier podcast, you know, he does business the same way I do and probably you do. You service the way my needs are, and I will be gladly service by paying you
yes.
for those services. We don't mind paying a little bit extra. I think the nuts and bolts of everything is that the guests don't realize the cost of profitability or the return on investment.
Yes.
Restaurants, hotels, especially hotels, because unfortunately, most hotels, the food and beverage operations, like, it's like a lost leader sometimes.
I'm going to tell you, it used to be.
Right.
Now, especially, food and beverage has to make money.
Yeah,
it is an operating department that has to make money. And if not, then you answer to
yep.
those that, you know, you're responsible to. So,
but the guests don't know that. They don't,
no, they don't.
See that, well, you're buying an $80 thing of romaine lettuce yeah. and half of it's garbage, not because the person that you were buying it from is getting it and he's mistreating it. It's whether the, you know, growing seasons between Arizona and California or even in Florida, or you were talking about earlier, disease or
in
anything
between,
like that,
yes.
or in between. we have to face that fact. We can't like take that off.
Look, I was in the produce industry for 20 years, right? And you know, you have your seasonal challenges where, you know, one growing region,
mm-hmm.
that product starts to diminish,
yeah.
and the quality therefore goes down and the price goes up. And then it takes a couple of, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever, you move into the other region.
Mm-hmm.
The first batches coming up there, the first harvests coming up there are also low quality and not much in volume. So quality low, price remains high.
Yes.
And then you get into the swing and all of a sudden price drops out and everybody's happy. You know, quality is fantastic. And where we are today, it's different. Like I can't cite anything, but some farmers aren't even growing certain things because it's not even profitable at this time, or they're being kind of coerced into growing something else that, you know, that's more valuable.
Yeah.
Right. And which is also part of the reason why some things may not be available. Long and short of it is you as the chef, we as distributors, it's a hard navigation right now.
Oh, it's tremendous. I mean, I wouldn't think of what my previous employer and what those guys are going through right now. It's got to be nuts between outages and shorts. And and then how do you deal with that? Because you get frustrated because they sent it to you and they verified when you, because you verified the news. Oh, look, it's got the order. And it's going to be filled. And then, you know, it always comes on the truck, right?
No, it does not.
No. And what do you do then? Then you're calling somebody and saying what's going on.
Yes.
Well, and hopefully an unknown is most people don't understand is some of those larger distributors, the sales reps aren't even allowed to do anything. They can't help you.
No.
They can't put that product in the car and run it out or, you know.
It's breaking the chain, temperature chain.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So you get into that whole food.
Well, it's the temperature chain. It's actually, it's the control mm-hmm. as well.
It's a control factor.
Correct. So, I mean, you're kind of stuck. And that's, you know, that's where we get a lot of the smaller brands that are out there that distributors rather that are out there that can bail you out.
Yes.
You know, and they've become a major crutch.
Definitely. I find myself, yesterday, for example, I had an order came in and it was verified online. And there were 7 items that came short. It was out of stock.
Probably every item you needed for your banquet or something like that.
Right, probably.
I mean,
it's Murphy's Law.
When we got here, there was, I don't know, 100 people here in the lobby. I'm assuming whatever you needed was for their dinner yesterday.
Yes. Right?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah. So, but, you know, so, Chef, Were you taking the menu now? Are you bringing it into a new direction? What's the plan?
There's two directions. For banquets, for example, you know, obviously banquets is a planned event. So
you've been busy here too. For you're at what the 70 average, like 75% occupancy,
well,
something like that.
August to August, we were 99% occupied.
99%.
August to August, yes.
Wow.
Insanity.
What across the street right there? There's that little park.
Yeah,
right.
Universal?
Oh, there we go. That could help a little.
This is a terrible location.
It's a tremendous location that's always been busy.
How many rooms?
742.
All right, my next question, because I was trying to figure this out earlier. How long has this thing been here, these two buildings?
I want to say it's about 44 years.
Yeah, when you're this old, you know exactly almost how old the building is. Yeah. Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah, true story.
Yeah, but it's literally been gutted and changed. It's so different from when I first started here. This was all wooden out here. It was all an older look.
Right.
And they just changed it all to more of a more modern, white, cleaner look.
Now, when they changed, did your menu morph and change? And how often can you morph your menus?
We change our menus once to twice a year, depending on what's going on. The banquet menu obviously done once a year. Then outlets is done probably every 3 months. We update it.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture raised, all natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
And Alex, just so people to know what that means, I know what it means.
So we have it's called Pizza Burgers and More, and Pizza Burgers and More is a snack to-go area where you can go buy burgers, pizzas, obviously, and other sandwiches. And we try to update that one every quarter because we have a lot of groups that come in that don't have banquets. So we try to make sure that we are keeping up with what's going on. And then in this restaurant that we're in now, American Grill, obviously by the name, it's American Fair. That one is looked at every quarter to see if there are things that are not selling. Most of the items, generally, I would say there may be maybe one item that doesn't sell as much as the others. But generally, we don't change that more than twice a year. But yes,
so we're busy. I didn't look at the menu, forgive me. But do you have any? It's American Grill. Is there an homage back to England? Anything on there? Is it just fish and chips in there?
Fish and chips did that.
All right. I was assuming. I was just thinking. Maybe you know.
Yes. Better be
right. I mean, that's if it were me, I would.
It's a house favorite.
Yeah.
It's a house favorite.
It better be.
Yes.
That's right. Right. How often are you changing a menu over here?
In this restaurant, twice.
Twice?
Twice a year. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, so the idea, we were talking earlier about farms and we were talking earlier about chefs and how there will be through our network an initiative to, link farms and chefs to local areas.
Yes.
Think
of it of like adopting a farm, like you do, like the adopt the animal kind of thing when they do that late night, you know, like commercial.
Adopt a manatee.
Yeah, adopt a manatee. Adopt a dolphin. Yeah, that.
Yeah.
So it'll be something to that effect, and there's going to be a lot of information and a lot of working together on the farms, chef tables, things like that. To really bring full circle the whole supply chain.
Yes.
Right. From farm to fork in a legitimate way. Right. So that's something that we're going to get into. And that's something I want to bring to you as well. By talking with you, we've been talking now for a few months.
Yes.
I feel like you would be very motivated for that.
Definitely.
Well, again, like I said, the last one, if chef's not motivated, they need to get out of the industry.
Yes.
100% they need to get out.
Well, I can tell you, Hilton and Ambridge, because Ambridge is the management company that runs this hotel, they are very into sustainability and farm to table. So farm fresh is definitely something that I'd be looking to get more into. I do a little bit now. Probably could do more, just it's a matter of finding time to get it done.
Well, we're trying to make it easier where we're going to take the farm component and introduce it, the farms, to the distributors that will be glad
to carry their products.
Yes,
and makes sense.
And therefore, for you, it will be easy to get those products.
Yes.
Right? And part of this whole thing is to also educate the consumer, you know, the guest, the client, the, you know, patron, whatever, that, hey, you know what? I want to go out and have a wonderful meal. But when I do cook at home, there's nothing. Listen, by the way, there's nothing wrong with the broadliners. There's nothing wrong with the big box stores that carry everything. There's a place for everybody.
Yes, there is.
Right? Mm-hmm. But when what we should have all learned over the last, I don't know, 6-8 months or so is that when something happens negatively in the other side of the planet and it affects what you can put into your mouth and eat here, well, I think there's a problem.
Yes.
And what we need to do is say, how do we take what's local and how do we feed ourselves when, you know, troubles do arise?
Yes.
Right. And how we got to this, chef, really through a tragedy with Hurricane Ian. This is kind of what's been presenting.
OK.
Right.
As I'm going out as a farmer advocate and learning more about the farmers and learning about their products and what farmer was destroyed or not, we're kind of linking the chefs up, and that's where the idea came from.
Okay. Because
if you can go and know and bring your team out and meet that farmer, there's more of that story, and that's what our guests want to hear. They want to hear those stories.
Yes.
They want to see where that bird's coming from. And here, being in a hotel, if you had an outlet where they can do grab and go, it would be really cool to have like goat soap from that, you know, particular farmer that's local, or honey, or, you know, maybe chickens that they're pre-wrapped and ready to go, and they can do when they leave, whatever, if they're a local kind of person.
And, and think about this. Like, you're talking, you know, you have, you know, the big park across the street here.
Yeah.
Right? You're getting people from all over the world coming here. You don't think that, you know, some traveler from Germany or, you know, wherever, and there's like local honey here. Mm-hmm. They're going to love that.
It's very appealing, yes.
You know, they're and they're going to, I don't know if they can eat in the rooms or not, whatever, but they're going to take that with them, either here upstairs or when they go back
100%.
Home. You know?
100%.
I just feel like it's just a missing, gigantic missing link in our industry.
Yes.
But I think, like we talked in the last podcast, it's like, it's not going to be cheaper to go local.
No.
You know, cheap has that connotation of being inferior. What it is supporting local families, local feeding their families that are feeding us.
Yes.
And that was my big push for why I wanted to get involved with the farmers, because they don't have a voice.
No.
You know, think about it. I mean, when we're talking about Farm Aid, I was thinking about this last night. I talked about Farm Aid, and like, well, I didn't really, I mean, I cared, but I didn't, because it really didn't appeal to me, because I guess it was that genre of musicians that were going into that. I don't know. Maybe that's my problem. But as the chef's getting Dan Barber, that's the one I was trying to think of yesterday. I was talking to another farmer.
Okay.
Dan Barber's the grandfather of the farm to table movement, you know, up in New York.
Yeah.
And he's using everything from the zucchini stock to the zucchini blossom. So we're introducing, or the farmers are introducing us to some phenomenal products locally. And as a chef, what does that do for you?
It opens.
If you're going to be willing to pay more, well, not willing, if you have to pay more
for
commodities, right? Why not pay a little bit more and get the local stuff?
Yeah.
Listen, I don't believe that there's going to be waste on commodity food.
No.
Okay. Whatever it is, product, you know, it's going to go somewhere. Somebody's going to consume that.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about like a food service experience, I want to go take my family on vacation and I end up here at the Doubletree. At the entrance of Universal here in Orlando.
That's right.
literally at the entrance of the hotel in that restaurant.
Literally, yes. Literally, if I understand. But, you know, if you're gonna have that experience, man, I want to eat in a hotel. I mean, I want to experience the area too, but I want to eat here. You know why? Because I'm going to be here for a week. But I want that experience to be elevated. I don't want the average, you know, commodity chicken. You know, I want a little bit something better, maybe a Springer Mountain or something that has a little bit more on the free range.
Or City Chicks or Circle C.
Local farms. Yes.
I think, you know, being a chef in a hotel, how many, when you travel, because I just thought about this when we're talking about it, how many hotels do you know on their menu have the farm that they deal with?
I have never seen it on any.
And it's, what kind of awe but what kind of wow moment would your guest have?
That's a big wow factor. I think that when people travel, they like to sample the local foods.
Exactly.
And if you're getting it from a local farmer, even more so.
Right.
I can tell you through, though I come from this part of the business originally, my last 20 years was in, you know, food distribution and sales, right? So I can tell you with assurance, being with thousands of chefs over the course of the years, if you go to 100 properties, maybe 3, maybe 4 will have what farm that product is coming from. And out of those 3 or 4, like 2 of them are legitimate.
Yeah.
And the others are, you know, they're just
fudging.
They're playing the game.
Right.
Right. You know, so I had a chef one time, no names, whatever, but he calls me up. He's like, Carl, what local farms are you, you know, bringing your product in from? I'm like, it's the summer. I'm not bringing in nothing. Like, you're not getting anything here. It's there's nothing growing here that you want in the summertime, really. And he's like, oh man, I'm in big trouble. Like, what are you talking about? He goes,
the local news station. They're doing an expose on me, and you know, I had it on the menu, and I didn't take it off the menu, and I should have, and I just didn't do it in time. And
whoops.
Yeah, and I'm like, wow. Man, you know.
Truth of menu.
Yes, it is.
It's rough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, going forward, I know this doesn't help you now, but like on your menu, just put like one available. You yes. know what I mean?
That's
like,
all you yes. need.
Just it opens.
Seasonal. CYA. Yeah. Right. Or seasonal, that's yeah. another one. Or market, you know, yeah. I hate that market thing.
Yeah, I don't like market either.
But there's a great example of chefs that really embrace their community. Have you ever been to New Orleans?
Yeah,
a couple
times.
Have you?
Love yes.
It. All right, so you've been to Cochon and the Cochon Butcher Shop?
Would you
right,
call me? Kind of,
yeah, right, exactly.
I did not get the opportunity to go at that time.
So if you ever get back, you can check on their website, Cochon Butcher Shop. They do a phenomenal job. They have 13 farmers listed on their website.
Wow. Cochon, by the way, is pig.
Right.
Yeah.
In
Creole.
French.
Yeah.
French and Creole.
And Creole, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know French, but I knew a little Creole because I was in the kitchen. You know.
So here's a little blast from your past for you. I used to work at the Bonaventure Hotel at La Cucina Toscana.
Oh, okay.
And La Cucina in Italian is kitchen.
Uh-huh. Kitchen.
Cucina in Spanish is... Uh-huh. Pig. So I worked in the pig Tuscan or the Tuscan pig, depending on where I was going.
Right. Who you were with.
Right, exactly. Or who was inside the kitchen.
Right. I love it.
But the point with Cochon is they actually have 13, 14 farmers that they list, and each farmer is shown with the staff. And when you click on their link, it goes to that farm and you can wow. find out about that farm. So for you, you know, once you start, if you start, you know, we get this off the ground and you start getting some from the distributor from the farmer, you then can link that farmer and you could be that person's, you know, mentor yes. or and also that spokesperson
and,
for
and,
that.
And don't forget that
when available.
When available. 100% when available. But think of the farm tour with your kitchen staff. You know, we're all here at the table. We've gotten to an age where, you know, if you're not mentoring somebody or helping somebody along the way, you're not doing it right.
No. Right.
And
you're right.
And when it comes down to growth and learning and you want to be in the kitchen and you want to create and you want to, you know, you want to cook, man, there's nothing better than actually getting in the farm, you know, stick your hand in the dirt. And you know what I mean? Just yeah, and to learn.
The best thing I ever did, I used to live in West Palm and we moved over to Tampa. I brought my daughter to one of the farms and I went, "Hey, this is where carrots come from." And the look on her face of just disbelief, wait, it's dirt. Seeing it from the eyes of my child opened it to me in my world of getting back together from the farmer. I was a city kid, man. Back when I was growing up in Hollywood, the University Drive was the cutoff. There was nothing out. Except this
Hollywood,
groves.
South Florida.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
What year was that?
Yeah. It's in the early 70s, believe it or not. Okay. I'm 52 next 2 weeks. I'll be 52.
Okay.
So
back when I was a boy.
You got to do more like Billy Crystal, the old Jewish guy.
Oh, my Lord. Oy
vey. Exactly.
I was
schwitzing on the porch.
I was schwitzing in my punum.
Yeah, I lived down that side back in 83. Okay. I came to the United States. I came there. I lived in Miami, Florida area.
Okay. And, that's our stomping grounds.
Yes.
And that was really pretty back then, too.
Yes, it wasn't crowded.
Oh, yeah, the cocaine revolution was just hog wild back then.
Well, Miami
not
was,
that I knew.
Miami was growing, but everywhere
oh, yeah, it was.
Like Hollywood, Fort Lauderdale, yeah. all of that stuff was beautiful, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That was like, remember Cape Fear?
Yeah.
And they filmed in downtown Hollywood because downtown Hollywood was like stuck in the 50s for the longest
time.
Yeah. And it was great growing up as a kid down there.
I mean, it only recently turned around, like in the last like 15 years.
Oh, you would never recognize that now.
It is really nice down there.
Yeah, have you been back
yes.
since?
Yes. It's like what, by the circle and all that?
Oh, there's no circles now. They're just
there's
straight skyscrapers now. They're, even right. the home building was taken down or being taken down.
Do you know those circles were that one presidential circle was a military base?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we call them River Rats.
Yeah.
Riverside Military Academy. They're out of Georgia. Trust me, I know them very well. What they actually, 84.
Angelo Dundee had
that was Miami Beach.
No, yeah. Well, originally it was on Fifth Street.
Yep.
But he had, back in the 90s, he actually had a gym there in the Circle as well.
Yep.
Young Circle, I think it was.
Yes, it was.
No, Presidential, one of those two, I don't remember.
Young.
But he had his gym there.
Mm-hmm.
really awesome.
Yeah, that's you're going way back because now Presidential Circle has that glass building in the middle of it.
Yeah.
That, and all the surrounding area was actual barracks for the kids.
Right.
I mean, it was straight up like with that one with Tom Hanks when they were kids and their sergeant got killed and they took the
what
building.
What are you talking about?
Back in the 80s, man. Back in the 80s.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a movie.
Anyways, it's a movie. Oh,
yeah, there was a movie where they military academy and they were taken over and they were trying to get them out. It was a great movie. That's kind of like when that came out. And they just closed Riverside Academy.
Interesting.
Down in Hollywood.
River Rats.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
How was your experience down there?
Better than mine.
obviously, being much younger back then, it was different. Coming from England, everything was big.
Hot.
I mean, hot, extremely hot, yes. I came in May, and it was... Actually, it's funny because my parents bought a six-pack of beer, and I had no clue what beer was.
What do you mean, had no clue?
In England, it's lager.
It's a
I'm drinking the six-pack, and it doesn't taste like soda. I'm thinking it's soda. And I'm drinking it, and it had no effect on me so whatsoever.
Well, because it was kind of like water.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. It was probably like 2.5%, 5%.
Yeah.
Like back then it was, yeah.
Yeah, you were better off like...
staying over and drinking the lager.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. That must have been a culture shock, though.
Very much so. Very, very much so.
And how did you want to become a chef?
Since I was 7, I wanted to become a chef. My first job was in a place called a Chateau in England. It was a steakhouse. I started.
Were you 7?
No.
Oh, okay.
They didn't have the labor laws.
I know when I started, there was some labor laws.
I was 15.
Okay.
And I started off by peeling shrimp, peeling onions, peeling potatoes, all by hand. There was no machines.
I was 12.
Yes.
Yeah, 12.
I was 15.
Yeah, I don't ever want to see another shrimp. I never want to see calamari that I need to take the exam. And peeling the roasted potato, roasted peppers, because I worked in an Italian restaurant.
That's right.
Yeah, I never want to see those three ever again.
Yes.
Ugh.
But it was a good experience when I look back. You know, I don't think that people experience that anymore.
No.
And it's an eye-opener. I think people need to realize that this is the beginning, and you have a long way to go. Because nowadays, from my experience with a lot of the schools, there was one that was here that's closed down now, and they started them on fine dining, and you know, you're just getting into this business. You don't learn fine dining right away. You learn the basics, and I don't think people learn the basics early enough or as much.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
Do you go back in your kitchens and mentor or pick a certain cuisine and kind of tweak that cuisine? Or
I'm very much into Floridian cuisine.
Another one. That's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Very much into
I'm glad Floridian. Somebody else knows. Yeah. There's two people on the planet that know what Floridian cuisine is.
Yes.
You want to tell everybody what Floridian cuisine is?
I was just going to say somebody's got to now define that for the audience.
There is really no definition. But
my definition of it is mixing Caribbean flavors with local Florida seafoods and other proteins. So when I first came here, Norman
Van Aken,
down
who's now
South
in
Florida,
LA.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was the one that really made it public. I say public because I used to do it, but I used to work in a hotel. So it wasn't something that people were as aware of as he did. He has a book. I think I still have the book.
Yeah, he had the first
New
book.
World.
It was the New World. It was the fruit, exotic fruits.
Yes.
And that was like the first. It was him and Mark Miller.
Miller, yes.
Where did the pepper, and then he did the fruit. Yeah. And there's actually two other chefs that did Floridian. There's Alan Susser.
Mark
Minatello.
Yes.
So you had literally Broward. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So you literally had Broward, North Miami,
yeah,
and then you had Coral Gables.
Yeah.
So you had three chefs at that time, almost exactly the same time.
And it's funny because Mark's place especially, which was downtown Los Olas.
Yes.
He had to a month to get into his restaurant.
Yeah.
Unless you knew somebody.
That was the place to be.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and
I follow him on Facebook. He's still around.
He's up in New Hampshire now. He's running three different concepts, I think. Somebody was telling me.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe it was you who was telling
me. No, it wasn't me.
So Floridian cuisine for me is, yeah, the Caribbean.
Yes.
It also has the influence of Central and Latin America.
Americas, yes.
But we cannot forget West Africa.
Yes.
That's such a huge influence.
Yes, there is.
And I love barbecue. In the last 5 or 6 years, I really got back into the barbecue because it's primal. And when you cook like Francis Millman and you cook like, we're geeking out.
Wait a minute. Are you trying to say that you left barbecue at some time?
No, I didn't. I got more into it. Like I refined myself.
Oh,
I
you went
really,
deeper into barbecue.
Yeah, I dove.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I dove,
for
you know
a
what,
second,
deep.
It sounded like you were like, yeah.
No.
Got back into it.
That's like saying, did you ever not eat bacon?
I'm saying. I'm trying to. We all heard it.
I know, but that's not what I meant.
It.
I meant
Chef
I went
heard
deep.
It. The American public heard it. Everybody
and
heard it.
And it's still
it.
Gravy, by the way.
It's not. Oh, my God.
And you can't bring him involved?
I certainly will.
No.
Chef.
So
this has actually been going on for way
feud.
Too long. Like, it's a feud. It's a thing. When you think red sauce, tomato sauce, pasta sauce. Yeah,
yes.
The operative, the phrase is sauce, like the word is sauce. There's a select small group of people.
Not just me.
that call it gravy.
The tomato sauce?
They call
it gravy.
They call it gravy. You know, yeah, because I guess maybe they're putting it on their turkey. I don't know what they're doing with it.
That's a little strange for me.
It is strange, isn't it?
Yes.
Where are you from again, chef?
Doesn't matter. He's a chef.
The reason why I know about that is from everybody immigrating down from New York. That was an Italian from New York.
Where the hell do you think my family comes from?
Jersey.
No.
Oh, well, then you must have been on the wrong side of the tracks. Then.
No. Listen, it's sauce. In fact,
you see this?
This is
I'm
no. I'm actually getting hot in my car. So, what ends up happening is like he started something on Facebook.
No.
Or did
you started it in the last podcast?
No, but that was because of Seth. Seth was
right. Seth said gravy
chops.
No, nope, Seth said he was going to make gravy, and you went, "What's gravy?"
Gravy. Anyway,
and that's
turkey.
How it got started.
Is that what a cranberry
right, chutney? You cooking Thanksgiving meal? You should have seen the poor guy's face. He's Italian. He's like, he's busting my chops. All I did was say I made gravy. What's Thanksgiving?
What the hell are you talking about? You know. Anyway, at any rate, yeah, no, that's wrong. You're wrong. They're wrong. All six people who call it that are wrong. Forget about it. I don't want to even do this.
Big debate now.
So, yeah. All right. John, all right, so here we are, right? We are we're on our podcast today. We are Walk and Talk, and what is Walk and Talk? It is we're many things, and we're growing. As it turns out, we are a food industry media company, and the focus is on taking the chef, the property, and promoting them. And that's because not everybody's a, you know, celebrity chef, and you know that's a small
niche, yes.
Small little right. That's a small little footprint. But really, how many chefs are out there that are doing the work, learning, growing, putting out great product, putting in the 80 hours a week, the whole nine yards? And I think everybody should know, you know, and the team, our whole Walk and Talk team, we believe that we should know everybody. We should know all the chefs. I feel like there should be baseball cards. I feel like there should be chef baseball cards. They should be traded, you know. And if we got an Anthony Fothergill from '92, it should be worth about a G. That's
right.
What I'm saying.
All
right, we'll trade it off.
I'll take that. We'll start that.
So, what is Walk and Talk?
Let me write that down.
We have the Walk and Talk podcast, which we're on right now. We have two streaming and internet food TV shows. One is called Restaurant Recipes. And the other is called the Dirty Dash Cocktail Hour. And we wrap it up with the Restaurant Life magazine. All of this content is about the food industry. It's about the chef. It's not only the chef. It's about the bartender. It's servers. It's really the business at large. And again, it's a hard business. It's not the hardest business. I mean, maybe sitting in a cubicle is the hardest business. But this is a difficult business.
Yes.
And at the end, it's a very interesting one because of the personalities, right? So we're bringing that to the forefront. going forward, if I may announce, Chef Anthony will be, it will be, you're going to get a show. It's yes. Restaurant Recipes. And so at the end of the day, that's coming up soon. We're going to start scheduling that. And we're going to do something here at the bar as well.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Super, super looking forward to that. I mean, it's, again, it's a beautiful property. When we do these things, we always look to promote where we are. It's a trifecta win.
Yes.
Property wins, chef wins, and the consumer wins because they're getting good information and good entertainment and all. So that's kind of who we are. I would love if you can hear me out there and you're listening to this, go to the website, www.thewalkintalk.com. See kind of what we're doing. You're going to be able to find where to find Chef Anthony when his episodes come out. You're going to find it there. All right. By the way, Roku TV, Android app, Amazon app.
Spotify.
Well, so the video shows we're streaming, and then you can catch them online, internet-wise. Obviously, we're doing a YouTube thing, which, by the way, we're getting anywhere from 20,000 to 200,000 views on an episode.
Wow!
So we're there's some real growth there, and I'm going to put it out there. There's a platform called Newsbreak, which is really cool, because we're very fortunate. They came to us and they said, "Hey, we love your YouTube channel. How you want to be a contributor for this?" And it's a delivery. It's a news delivery platform, and they're like top five on the internet.
Wow!
Right. So when we start publishing your content, it's going to show up as news.
Wow!
It's not going to show up as like, oh, it's a YouTube. No, it's going to show up as news.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. So we're really blessed to be where
kind of is news, right?
It's not social. Like, oh, it's a Facebook post.
Right.
It's not that. It's a little bit more. There's a sprinkle or a drizzle, if you will, here, Jeff, of PR to it. Right. We are not a PR firm. However, this has a very strong PR feel. Okay. In this particular,
you're shedding light on common issues within the industry.
Yes. Correct. We're also, when we do our magazine, we take the articles and we publish the article to Newsbreak as well. So you're getting an article and also video. So it's pretty amazing.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about scheduling here really soon. Before we go, we got about 5 minutes here. Very quickly, if you could just kind of talk about the particular, was it the 18th?
Yeah, November 18th.
Real fast.
Sure. We'll give the synopsis, the cliff notes.
Yes.
That's how old I am. November 18th, the week of actually November 14th to the 20th, we're actually asking hotel operators, restaurant owners, as well as private chefs and caterers to go ahead and donate part of their proceeds for that week to go to www.chefshelpingchefs.org. It's also known as Sharing Our Stories. It's the 501(c). What we're going to do is basically fund people down south that are in the service industry that have been affected by Hurricane Ian, and also farmers that have been devastated by Hurricane Ian as well, to get them up and running. Okay. Specifically, November 18th in Odessa on the farm Cahaba Club, which is Marvin's wonderful microgreen farm. Chef, if you've not been out to the farm, it's worth the drive.
I've had the products. I haven't been down to the farm.
Yeah, you definitely have to go check the farm out, because what he does down there is absolutely stunning. So Marvin pretty much opened up his farm. We're going to have at least 9 chefs that are going to be there, 3 of which actually survived a hurricane, and they're going to tell their stories. One of which is, we heard last week in the podcast, one of the brothers, Seth, the gravy guy.
sauce guy.
The gravy guy. He told the story about what they went through and so on and so forth. He's actually doing a vegan crab cake as one of his courses. Okay. So that we have, 3 left now, spots for chefs. So if you guys know of any chefs that want to partake and want to be part of this, the door's open.
I'd have to check my schedule.
Yeah, as I'm looking over, it's on the right.
If you're not watching the video, I just gave Chef a hard stare. All right, that's what happened.
He's got a Goomba outside.
I think you're going to do this. All right, so Chef, listen, thank you, Jeffrey.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Why should anyone come here to the DoubleTree across at the entrance of Universal Studios in Orlando? Why are they coming here?
People are coming here to relax. People are coming here to get away from their day-to-day lives, whether it's for a day or for a week. Many of our guests are international. There's a couple that's here this week. They've been here for almost 2 weeks. And they're from England also. And they really didn't come to do anything besides relax and shop.
Do you give do you give them a discount on the fish and chips? Just saying. Is that a freebie?
Kidding. I'm kidding.
A scotch.
You know, the hotel itself, the employees are very hospitable. You know, these are hospitality people. They have been in the business. A lot of the people that work with me in food and beverage, I have people in the dining room that have been here for 30-odd years.
Wow.
So they're seasoned. They know how to treat guests.
Very seasoned.
Yes, yes.
You know what? It's funny. We're sitting here, and in 2 weeks, I'm actually supposed to come to Universal for my birthday. We're trying to think of where we're going to stay, and we're actually going to stay here. I'm not even saying for that. But I was like, I haven't never stayed, and we stayed down the road. But it was between the other park with the, you know, mouse.
Okay.
or here, and I didn't want to go there.
It's a no-brainer.
So, yeah, it's a no-brainer. But, you know, sitting here right now and listening to the music and the background that's piped in the lobby, it actually feels like Miami. It feels like,
yeah, it's got the Miami,
you know, like an oasis, yes, or like you're in the Caribbean type of field.
Can I get a cocktail over here?
Even though you're just literally like right off the lobby. Yeah. And that's what's really, that's a great job by the owners doing what they did.
The atmosphere is amazing.
Yeah, it really is. It doesn't feel like a, does this sound stupid? It doesn't feel like a hotel.
No.
It feels like a resort.
Yeah.
Man, I'm holding off on my Mickey Mouse, my impersonation.
Thank you. Don't.
My daughter would dig it though. If I, you know.
Well, then you'd have to then.
Yeah.
Are you the dad that paints the nails too?
No. No, I don't do that.
I am.
There's.
I tell her to do my toes, and she gets like, she caught on really quick. She's like, yeah, but you wear shoes.
I do, and I sleep with them, and that's okay. Like, the shoes are on, leave my feet alone. Don't.
All right.
There we go.
It's like, there it is. Okay. So, listen, Chef, thank you for allowing us here today. I think this was fun. I think it was informative, and I cannot wait to come here to actually do videos.
Yes.
That's going to be awesome.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be on the show today. It's amazing.
Let me know how the steak, like, if when you come here, let me know.
Oh, definitely.
I might show up with a camera.
That's
I'm just saying.
Just bring the wide angle lens. That's well, all I'm saying.
Duh. Like, yeah, I think so. It goes without saying.
Yeah.
All right, listen, everybody, thank you for listening and being involved in this show. This is the Walk and Talk Podcast. I am your host, Carl Fiadini. Check us out, www.thewalkandtalk.com. Thank you very much. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful day.
You too.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice.
They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.